John chapter 12, and we continue to work our way through this marvelous portion of Scripture. Tonight I want to look at verse 31 to 36, but for the sake of context, back it up to 27. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this void did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, let the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this gospel. So many things that we are learning and things he has said. And we can see his repeated statement to declare who he is and his mission that he was sent. All along we've been hearing about his hour had not yet come and now we are here. And yet people are missing the point. They are not spiritually grasping, comprehending the truth for which he is communicating. Father, let us not be guilty. How often maybe we so often read the word and we don't understand it and never have ever considered that it might be deadness and inability to understand apart from just normal words and general definitions of words, but to spiritually, savingly understand these truths certainly require the quickening and illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray that though in the context of our Lord speaking to these people, we understand that dynamic. But let's step back a bit and look at what our Lord is doing. And that is the lesson for us to learn and to remember. Father, we ask that you bless in Christ's name. Amen. Let's just back it up quickly at verse 27. Really good stuff. Often people, pastors, when I try to get them sermons or hear sermons, they try to put too many verses in there, and they just touch on things that I think are very vital and good critical lessons. We already learned about the importance of the word trouble and the fact that he was in a state of, so to speak, shock and horror because I believe at that moment he had become the grips of what this hour means, and yet he hypothetically asked himself, well, what should I say then? Save me from this hour? And the answer is, I But for this purpose, I came to this hour. One of the things I didn't say last week, I thought that I had one of my commentators said that if he were to ask that, we know it was his will for the very purpose to go for this hour. And that how important it is that he was saying, focus on that here. And then he said in 28, Father, glorify your name. A void from heaven declared that I will glorify, I have and will. I have with your life and ministry so far, I will in your death. So we have this marvelous message, a confirmation, and yet the people didn't get it. They had two answers to what they heard. Thunder, an angel. But they didn't understand what would be instead. Now, I like what one commentator said. He said on that very point, he said, it is very difficult to figure out exactly what's going on there. But it is pretty clear that we could say it may be spiritual inability to understand what's going on here. That is a very strong and plausible point. And flowing from that into verse 31 for tonight, now this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So instantly he jumped right into Satan will be defeated. Satan is going to be addressed. And this is a very important theme that we need to be aware of, because this battle had been since the beginning of Genesis, since the fall. This battle was all tied up in Genesis 3:15 about your seed and his seed, or the seed of the woman and Satan's seed. But here he is clearly stating that in 3:15, Genesis said this, but I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That is the what they call the proto-evangelism, meaning that is the very first time we got the evangelistic message of that God had brought, promised and prophesied someone to come from the seed of the woman. And we see here and throughout Scripture that that Satan is going to be defeated. Satan thinks he's going to be, if he can just kill Christ, he wins. But he doesn't realize he actually lost. And we know that from the aspect of 1 John 3:8, which is a very important verse on the light of our verse here. He said, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil had sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the very purpose for which Christ came was to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? And so we see here in our very first verse on our particular passage tonight, now the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out and dealt with and blown. It's going to happen soon, okay? We know, because I keep reminding you, and we know, thankfully, we got Bibles, complete Bibles, where we can know what the last chapter is and the final result and who wins and so on and so forth. It's always been this spiritual battle between God's people and Satan's children. Children of light and children of darkness. Children of the sons of God and the children of wrath. And then he made a statement that is not new here. He'd been saying it, but it's really relevant in the light of how close it is going to be. Verse 32 and 3. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. If I'm lifted up from earth. Now, clearly that is a statement of what kind of death he will die. He would die by way of crucifixion. even the people we're going to see in a moment recognized that. They recognized that to be lifted up is not the idea of being lifted up and hailed as a victor, but lifted up in the way of a crucifixion, which was a common punishment for those who broke Roman law, especially if you were not a Roman. And so we see here, theologically speaking, Christ said, if I am lifted up. In the Greek, the word I is very emphatic. Him. It's him. Let's not simply generalize, but it's him. And it said when that happens, he will be lifted up and draw all people. He will be the Savior, not just for the Jews, but all kinds of people in the world, Jews and Gentile, people of all walk, color, nationality, and race. It wasn't meant and never was meant to be purely and only the Jewish people. And so that was a pretty incredible statement. And the fact that Jesus, first time using that, when I am lifted up, it goes all the way back to the conversation with Nicodemus. Clear back in chapter 3. In verse 14, he used it in the context of Moses. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Then later on in chapter 8, verse 28, it said this, and Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he. Now that's a tragic thing, because they're the religious leaders of that in that context is denying his identity, denying who he is, and he is making it clear they're lost, they're blind, they don't see it, but when you lift me up, you will know. You will know. And then he goes on, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And so we see how our Lord's method is consistent. He doesn't equivocate. He doesn't shave it off. He doesn't tone it down. He doesn't minimize it or make it into a lowest common denominator or truncated. It has been a consistent message all along. I've been sent by the Father to do this work. I am the Christ, the Messiah, and there will be a time when you will be lifting me up to kill me and to murder me. And we already know up to this point, there had been since chapter 5 of John, a concerted effort starting in the heart, working out in action, a way to kill him. And we're getting closer and closer to this hour, and like I told you, we are within a week chronologically from this passage, though rest assured we will not be getting all the way through it in a week. I'm willing to bet you it's going to last over a year, because the upper room discourse is rich. But nevertheless, the next point, Jesus now shifts. And he shifts, and it's something we must not miss in verse 34 through 36. But let's just read verse 34 for the moment. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So a lot of questions here, a lot of obviously, it centered around where they're questioning what he just said. We, if you're the Christ, we have heard in the law. Let me deal with those two words, or I think it's important. They had the perception that Christ would never die and live forever and abide forever. Okay, that was their perception. How they came to that perception, they said, we heard out of the law or from the law. That could be one of two things. First of all, the law most likely was not a strict first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy, because there's nothing in there that said that kind of language on the Messiah. But if you get into the other portion, such as the Psalms and Isaiah and Daniel, there are statements that speak to the Messiah abiding forever, but they totally miss the aspect of the death and resurrection, but we'll talk about that in a sec. So their perception is he will abide and live forever. But one commentator, well, actually a couple commentators, made the comment that it was interesting that they used the word "we have heard" rather than "we have read." Maybe they were taught this and they just believed what they were taught. Not everybody had Bibles like we do back then. A lot of it had to be read. And that understanding is limited without some ongoing comparative scripture, this and that and the other. But nevertheless, they could have been possibly been taught to see it this way, which we know the religious leader definitely didn't see him as the Messiah. They definitely didn't see him as the one. Up to this point. So the doctrine that the Messiah would not die and reign as a prince forever is founded in places like Psalms 110, verse 4, Daniel 2, verse 44, Daniel 8, and others. But they overlook such passages as clearly Isaiah 53 that speak to the death of the Messiah. Okay, so that part. But it was interesting how our Lord handled it. He didn't answer the question. He didn't address the question. He did what he always did. And this is a significant moment here recorded in the Gospel of John. And that is, in verse 35 and 36, we have our final invitation by our Lord recorded by John. So what did that tell you? Our Lord was constantly sharing the gospel, sharing who he was. His mission, his purpose was to save sinners. And he urged them, the light is still with you for a little bit longer. You better embrace the light. That is exactly how I have entitled my message, believe in the light while it is with you. Let's look at verse 35 and 6. When Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light. Let darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So here we have the final invitation by our Lord recorded by John. All of it summarizes, if you remember, the theme verse of the entire gospel is John 20, 31. You need to remember 20, 31, 20, 31. If you want to know what all of John is about, John 20, 31. Rich read, and these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It doesn't get any simpler. His mission, Messiah, his deity, the Son of God. And so he states here that the light will be here a little longer. Well, to be exact, probably 8 days. 8 days from here. When you have something around all the time, you kind of take for granted that it'll always be there. That's why sinners need to heed while they can, while they're light, while they're still alive. When you die in your sin, which our Lord mentioned that a while back, I think those are the most horrifying words or concept could ever imagine. That if you, it's one thing to die, it's another thing to die in your sin, then too late, no hope, eternity among the damned is your place, which is sad. So he exhorts them, While the light is here, walk in it, follow it, and let darkness overtake you. He already just said, Satan's work is destroyed. I have come to destroy it. When I get lifted up, I'm going to get them. I'm going to draw all people to me. All sorts of people to me. Some people want to read every man, woman, and child. No, it is it all sorts of people. Walk and follow the light and let darkness overtake you. While you are in the light, believe in the light. Embrace it. Look at it. Trust it. Hold to it. Flee to it. It's your hope. So here we have our Lord. He no more and get done and he's gone. I mean, these words are quick. Spoke, departed, and hidden. Spoken, gone. But let's talk about this for a moment. Throughout this, our Lord's ministry, just in the Gospels, let alone when you get into the epistles, the truth about light and darkness, spiritually speaking, we're not talking about having a flashlight or not. We're not talking about, they didn't have electricity. We're not talking about a candle lit or not. We're not talking about sunlight or not. We're talking about spiritual light and darkness, spiritual darkness. Dead in your sin, dead in your trespasses and sin. Jesus said earlier in later in a few more verses in verse 46, I have come as a light into the world that whosoever believed in me should not abide in darkness. That is really clear. Now that's what he says in a few verses later, but backwards, you look clear back in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. And he who followed me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Does that not make sense in light of what he just said here? So what did he say? He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. Walk while you have it. Follow the light. Follow the truth. Follow the Messiah. Even in the next chapter, in John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Easily could have went to all the way back to John chapter 1, where John was, the Baptist was, not that light. He was always bearing witness to that light, which was Christ. Though his message was continually the gospel for sinners, the good news for sinners. Sinners, if they die and go to hell, they have no one to blame but themselves because of their own rejection and saying no. And yet Christ continues to exhort and call sinners to himself. Even when you get into the epistles, this concept continues to work its way through and unfold to show us that, folks, quit acting like you used to be because you're not that anymore. For example, Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So quit walking like you used to. You walk a different path. You walk a different way. You walk to the will and the ways and the purpose of the Lord Jesus himself. How do you miss the first chapter of 1 John where it said, 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so we see here our Lord in this final invitation recorded in the Gospel of John by him. He exhorts and he challenges. Talk about a full spectrum of from beginning to end with Satan, his work going to be destroyed. My purpose is to draw all people to myself, not just the Jewish people. And then he extends, and it's all about light and darkness, truth and error, Satan versus God through his Son. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your word is, especially the words of our Lord, instructive, helpful, useful. We pray that we would emulate his pattern. We are children of light. Therefore, we should not be ashamed of the light and to shine that light onto the dark world and those who walk in darkness. Speak the truth, Lord. We get caught up a lot of times in meaningless debates and controversy. But we need to be firm, lovingly, graciously, and prayerfully on behalf of the souls of those who need to know Christ, and that the only way to the Father is through forgiveness through the work of Christ, who destroyed the works of Satan at the cross. And so, Lord, we pray that you would exhort us, challenge us to see this, to see men are groping in darkness, and we need to bring the truth to them, bring the light. That is what you have called us to do as your people, to declare Christ and him crucified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.